Thanks for joining us on the JX Today. Topic one is actually a few topics rolled into one, but they are all generally about people mistreating other people. April is Child Abuse Awareness Month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and includes later in the month National Crime Victim Rights Week. Community Works in Jackson County, which runs a domestic violence and sexual abuse and sex trafficking resource center, plans an event next week, April 16th, to talk about abuse and prevention. The event adopts a national campaign theme, Start by Believing. We have the moderator and a panelist with us. The moderator is Barbara Johnson, who is the executive director of Community Works. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
And we also have with us one of the panelists, Jennifer Mylenik of CASA of Jackson County, the executive director there, CASA for Court-Appointed Special Advocate. Jennifer, thank you. And how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Mylenik. And thank you, Jeff.
Yep. Good to have you here, both. Barbara Johnson, talk about the services first, if you would, at the resource center that Community Works provides.
Absolutely. So Community Works has actually been providing these services for over 50 years. We merged with three other organizations in 96. We provide community outreach services and supporting individuals who are experiencing domestic sexual violence and trafficking, as well as we have shelter. And we also provide housing, physical housing, as well as assisting with housing. We also have a 24/7 hotline, which people can call us anytime, 541-779-HELP.
Which is also
779-4357. 4357, yes, exactly.
Yeah, 541-779-HELP. We'll say that a few more times here. How busy is the resource center? How many people use it in a year?
We serve duplicated numbers of about 3,000 a year of children and adults.
And what has been the trend there? Was there a pandemic spike, for example?
Actually, there was a huge pandemic spike with abuse when people were having to stay home and they couldn't get the resources or make the phone calls they needed to get out. Yet we were able to pivot quickly and add more resources so that they could have safe places to live. Either in other people's homes or in hotels in our shelter. And that's leveled out quite a bit. And, of course, housing has been a dramatic need because of all the fires here. And Community Works has built its transitional housing for clients coming out of Dunhouse Shelter, our only domestic sexual violence shelter. And they'll be able to live there for up to 24 months while they become stable and sustainable.
I was thinking about Dunhouse today and its long history. I mean, has that had to expand several times over the years in addition to having this other shelter now, too?
Yes, actually it has. It increased in the mid-2000s by about 70%.
Well, okay. That's not great news, I suppose. Now, when we turn to the CASA program, Jennifer, these are not foster parents, court-appointed special advocates. What do they do for children?
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. CASAs are volunteers, and they get a lot of core training from our organization and vetting, of course, and then support. And they're appointed to children who come into care, who come into foster care, or have been abused and neglected and become wards of child welfare of the state. And our CASAs go out and meet those children first and foremost, get to know them, and these are kids ages birth up to 18 and even older in some cases, and they advocate for them in court. It's the one report that the judge gets from the CASA that really tells him what's going on with that child, what their needs are, and what would be in their best interests.
And what is the trend line for you, and how many more CASA volunteers could you use?
Well, we could probably use another 75 CASA volunteers to serve the full need in Jackson and Josephine counties. But we did see a drop during the pandemic because one of the primary mandatory reporters for child abuse are teachers. And so with kids out of school, we saw that number drop dramatically. It has risen a little bit post-pandemic, but it has not come back up to the numbers it was pre-pandemic, so which is interesting for us. We're not 100% sure what's that's attributed to. They are trying to bring more services in-home to keep families together, and that may be impacting those numbers. So that's great news as long as those children are safe. That's what we care about.
Jennifer Malenik is the executive director of CASA of Jackson County. Barbara Johnson, the executive director at Community Works, also serving Jackson County. We are talking about child abuse, sexual violence, abuse of other kinds, and the fact that this is Child Abuse Awareness Month, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and there are some events coming up to mark these. And you can get into the conversation with your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Barbara Johnson, the situations you deal with, I mean, how often is there a generational aspect to it where people who have been abused young become abusers themselves as adults?
There is the risk of that, especially we see it working with our community justice partners who are going to be one of the panelists here for our Start by Believing Summit. Many times those who abuse have been abused themselves, and they come forward and let us know. And so we actually have staff who work with community justice individuals who have been in the system and helping them through those processes to resolve those issues.
What are the keys to breaking that cycle, do you think?
Oh, I would say it's multi-pronged approach. It really needs to start young, which is why we appreciate CASA so much, because we need to be developing stronger relationships within families. We also need to be able to have opportunities for education. Individuals need to understand that prevention is part of what we all can do, regardless of where we are living, because the individuals who are being abused are going to first come to family and friends and share their story. And we want them to be able to feel like they have a positive experience and they have resources that they can connect with and resolve them.
Jennifer Malenik, that part that Barbara was just talking about, one of the things that is valuable about CASA. Now, CASAs are not therapeutically trained, but do they have roles in connecting kids to therapy, for example?
Yes, they do. Yes, we are trained to sort of notice behavioral patterns that we can then say, has this child been therapeutically evaluated or physically evaluated, and work with the caseworker at child welfare or directly with physicians to make sure that those assessments happen and that the treatment is therefore then consistent with whatever the assessment is, because children move from foster home to foster home pretty frequently, and sometimes their services don't follow them. So, but the CASA can be there to make sure that that thread is continuous and their services are continuous.
Does the CASA stay attached to the case as long as the case is open?
Yes, we have a very, very low, less than 3% turnover of CASAs on their cases, and we ask for a 2-year commitment from a volunteer. And sometimes a case can be resolved in a year, year and a half, or 2 years, and sometimes those cases last much longer. And we often see CASAs being involved with their kids well beyond case closure, too. It's sort of a beautiful thing to see.
Well, I was going to ask you about case closure, then. It does happen, so it's not like all foster care cases stay open for years on end.
Oh, absolutely not. Child welfare is very anxious to get those cases closed. We want them closed when there is a safe resolve for that child and the best resolve for the family as well. Parents can reunify with their kids. We see parents do this all the time. They get the help that they need. And again, like Barbara said, it's generational and so many factors impact it. Houselessness, poverty, you know, job loss, all of these things feed into the stressors that feed abuse and neglect. But parents with the right help can overcome that and get their kids back. And other times we see kids go with family that we've helped identify or go into guardianship or be adopted by their foster caregivers.
Abuse, neglect, violence, we're talking about the whole suite of things here on the Jefferson Exchange with Jennifer Malenik, the Executive Director of the CASA of Jackson County, and Barbara Johnson, Executive Director at Community Works, both participants in the first annual Southern Oregon Start by Believing community event coming up Tuesday, April 16th, 1 to 3 p.m. at the Smullen Health Education Center on the campus of Rogue Regional Medical Center in Medford. Barbara, talk about how this came together. Start by Believing, I notice, as a national campaign, and this is the first time Southern Oregon's picked it up?
Absolutely. Start by Believing began with an organization called End Violence Against Women International in about 2012. It's a global campaign designed to educate and prepare friends, family, and professionals to all respond positively to people who share out that they're experiencing neglect, abuse, and to help them through that time of need. Community Works is holding its first Start by Believing Summit, which we have this wonderful group of panelists who are going to be there. Our intention is to bring awareness, education, and action so that our community can recognize this important issue and be educated, empowered, and engaged to take action themselves, because so often we all need to knit together in helping impact those who are being abused. And we want to not only provide intervention, but prevention, education, and healing.
I can see that communication, where there is a situation of abuse or neglect or violence, is critical, and also not to have that communication detected. I noticed that even the parts of the Community Works website that are generic and informational have a close site quickly button at the bottom. Explain why that's there.
That's because too often, especially with our wonderful smartphones that we all have now, someone who is a perpetrator or abuser has the opportunity to see what the individual who is using that phone is going on. So by having that escape button, it actually, if someone's on our website or another domestic violence sexual assault website, it will actually, you hit that escape and it will take you to something that is totally unassociated with us, such as maybe Amazon.com or some other purchasing place, so that the individual who is the abuser will never know what you were trying to do. So it's a protection mechanism.
Right. So that's the person that the victim is trying not to communicate with. For the people who do end up receiving communications from someone who's in an abuse or neglect or violent situation, it seems like our first reaction is often, no, what should it be?
Yeah. I am so glad you're raising that question, because I always look at it from the standpoint of imagining a friend being in a horrible automobile accident, and they call you, and they tell you, this is what's happened to me. And the first words we always say is, I can't believe it. I'm so sorry. So believing, listening, and saying, you're not alone. I'm here to help you out. Let's see what we can do. That is your first reaction, because by saying no, you're shutting that individual down. So imagine you being in a car accident, and would you tell somebody, no, you weren't? So here we're saying, believe them. It's real. They don't deserve it, and we need to be there to help them. And we can all do that, because the first person they're going to be talking to is a family member or a friend. And especially for young adolescents, they very, very often are talking to their friends 2 to 3 times more before they get support. And anytime that negative support comes to them or that negative impact, they shut down. And the risk of them being re-victimized has increased dramatically.
Jennifer Malenik, for young people, for kids, I mean, who do they tend to contact first, or how are their cases often discovered and opened?
Sometimes they are telling a teacher. Teachers are very good at responding to this, but we often see many other people who are not good at it. One thing that's very important is, as Barbara says, is to believe and offer that child comfort and find out who you need to contact. There is a 1-800 number. It's a child abuse hotline. You can also call the police. And children with reports will be seen at the Children's Advocacy Center, where they do forensic interviews. They do physical examinations to help that child walk through the next things that are going to happen for them. It's very important not to ask a child to disclose this information over and over again, at which point they'll stop disclosing. Mm-hmm. And the mistake that can often happen when child abuse is first discovered, particularly child sexual abuse. So many people get involved in hearing the story who aren't professionals that then the child stops disclosing. So, but we've seen many children not believed by their own parents, not believed by other relatives, and other professionals, and it's just critical that we believe them.
Did that child abuse reporting hotline, is that the 855-503-7233?
It is.
Okay, we'll make sure we put that up on our website, and also the Community Works helpline in Jackson County, 541-779-HELP, which is 4357. Let me do that again. 541-779-4357. Barbara Johnson, Community Works, thanks so much. The event is again Tuesday, April 16th at the Smullen Center. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you very much, Jeffrey.
Jennifer Malenik at CASA Jackson County, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Barbara, for putting this together. We're all excited. We are too, and please go on our social media or website to register. Spaces are limited.